Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live from the Internet from London. This broadcast is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we continue with the fourth part of our series of programs entitled The Vatican and Europe. We will discuss more about these programs after we've had some music. the Vatican, and Europe. We continue with part four of this important subject tonight with answers from the Bible. Over the course of a number of weeks, we are discussing the following. Where in the Bible do we find the Vatican mentioned? Where the Bible shows the Vatican's roots come from? Why Jesus mentions about the Vatican in the Bible? How long Jesus predicted that the Vatican would rule for? And what lessons has Jesus for us about the Vatican today? In our last radio broadcast, we looked at the 5th, 6th, and 7th identifying marks of the Little Horn Power that was revealed by God in the prophecy of Daniel chapter 7. These are: he shall speak great words against the Most High, he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and he will think to change times and laws. We have seen so far that 7 of these 8 identifying marks point us to the Vatican. As we continue with our study this week, we will see if the Vatican fulfills the last identifying mark that Christ has given in the prophecy of Daniel chapter 7 for this anti-Christian power. Let us pray before we continue our study this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, streaming live on the internet from London. As we study your word, Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us, to strengthen our minds and open our hearts to the truths of your word. It's our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Vatican and Europe, Part 4, the 1260-year prophecy. Now we look at the eighth identifying mark given for the Little Horn Power. We read in Daniel chapter 7 and verses 23 to 25. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. As we studied last week, listeners, God has given at least 8 identifying marks in order that we can be absolutely sure of who the Little Horn Power is that Christ has warned us about in the Bible. These identifying marks, as given in Daniel chapter 7, are: 1. He arises out of the fourth kingdom. 2. He comes up after the fourth kingdom has degenerated into 10 smaller kingdoms. 3. He shall be different from the 10. 4. He subdues 3 of the 10. 5. He shall speak great words against the Most High. 6. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High. 7. He will think to change times and laws. And 8. The saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and the dividing of time. We have covered 7 of the identifying marks of the Little Horn Power mentioned in the prophecy of Daniel chapter 7. These so far point us to the Vatican. Now, does the Vatican fulfill the last identifying mark? If it does not, then it is not the Little Horn Power mentioned in the prophecy of Daniel chapter 7. But if it does, then we know for sure that this is the Antichrist power that Christ has warned his people about. Let us now look at the 8th identifying mark that the Lord has given for the Little Horn Power. We read in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, and they, the saints, shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. Here the Bible explains the period of time that the saints were to be given into the hand of the Little Horn Power. Now, what does this phrase, given into his hand, mean? We read in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verses 11 to 12. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honour come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. We read in Genesis chapter 31 and verse 29, It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your fathers spake unto me yesternight, saying, Take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. The Bible teaches us something very important here, listeners. Let us take note. God is the sovereign ruler of the universe. He owns everything. He owns all that is in the heaven and the earth. Yet how does he use all this great power that he has? How does he use the eternal power that he has in his hand? We read in Psalm chapter 11 and verse 4, The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. We also read in Psalm chapter 36 and verse 7, How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. God uses his power to make the children of men great and to give strength unto all. The God of heaven, who is seeking to redeem man through the person of Jesus Christ, rules by the sovereign power of his love. Christ, the creator of man, loves and serves the beings that he has created. This moves those who recognize his loving kindness to have faith in him and to put their trust in him, because he does not do them any harm. Let us remember, listeners, what we learned in the book of Daniel about the true philosophy of history. We read in Daniel chapter 2 and verses 20 to 21. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God for ever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons, he removeth kings and setteth up kings, he giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. God tests all who he allows to have power in this world. This is one of the main moral lessons being taught in the Bible. Will the ruler of a kingdom use the power that heaven has imparted to them to do good or to do evil? Will he use it to save or to destroy? This is one of the main moral lessons that Christ seeks to teach his church through Bible prophecy. This lesson is also for us as individuals, listeners. How do we use the power that God has given to us in our hands to govern our families or to conduct business? Do we use the power that we have in this life for good or evil? The system of government that we worship and serve will determine the spirit that we have. If we worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will love and serve people. If we worship and serve Satan, then we will hate and oppress people. This is why we are presenting this series of radio broadcasts called The Vatican in Europe. We will be studying about the influence that papal government has had and has upon people. The Lord wants his people to know the truth about this. We read in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 2 last week that it was the dragon, Satan, who gave the Roman kingdom its power and seat and great authority. God allowed Satan to do this in order for the universe to see how the devil uses power. The pagan and papal Roman kingdoms on this earth have revealed how the devil uses power to rule over the beings that God has created. As we studied last week, when the little horn power, the papacy, gained power in Western Rome, it persecuted the saints of God and killed millions of people. The Lord now points us to the length of time that the little horn power was to do this. It would be for a time, times, and the dividing of time. And so the first thing that we need to find out in the Bible is what is the length of time that the Lord is speaking about here. Then we need to find out if history does testify that the Vatican did persecute the saints for this length of time. Then we can be sure that it is the eighth identifying mark of the little horn. Let us now look at the time period called the time, times, and dividing of time. This time period is actually mentioned seven times in the Bible, all with reference to the little horn power. Let us go to where we find these references now, listeners. We read in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time." We read in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 7, "And I heard a man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." Third reference we read in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 2. "But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. The fourth reference we read in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 3. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." The fifth reference we read in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 6. Chapter 12 and verse 6. "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she have a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. The sixth reference we read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 14. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent." And the seventh reference we read in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5. "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. As we examine these Bible texts, we see that they are all speaking about the same event: the saints being scattered and tread underfoot by the Gentiles, or by the little horn power that was to speak great things and blasphemies. This event was to happen for a time, times, and the dividing of time, which God explains is a period of 42 months, or 1260 days. We read in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 34, "After the number of thy days in which ye have searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, ye shall know my breach of promise." We read in Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 4 and verse 6, "And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year." The Lord explains through his word that when he gives a time prophecy, then a day of that time prophecy is equal to a literal year. Through the visions given to Daniel and John, the little horn power was prophesied to persecute the saints of God for 42 months, or 1260 days. Using the day for a year principle, as we have read, as taught by God in the Bible, the little horn power was to persecute the saints of God for a period of 1260 years. Notice that the prophetic period of 42 months is mentioned. This amounts to 3.5 prophetic years, for there are 12 months in each year. This lets us know that the time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and the dividing of time is half a year. It is also important to understand that there are 360 days in a biblical year. This can be recognized by reading Genesis chapter 7 and 8. The 5 months of the flood were calculated to be 150 days. That means that there were 30 days to each month. 30 days times 12 months is 360 days. And so, we see, listeners, that in order to understand the deeper truths of the Bible, time must be prayerfully spent studying its pages, comparing scripture with scripture. We must let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us, and reveal to us where, within the Bible, God's purpose is made clearer in accordance to the light given to Christ's church. We will have a break and continue with our study afterwards.
Voice in the Wilderness is a gospel ministry that was established in 1992. From small meetings of prayer and Bible studies, it grew into a national outreach resource and has since grown over the years into an international ministry that not only carries out evangelistic work through books and tracts and videos, but we also conduct prophecy seminars, health talks, religious liberty meetings, and carry out publishing work. Today, utilizing the latest electronic and printed media, our work has expanded and spread abroad around the world. In Africa, North, South, and Central America, Australia, the Caribbean, and Europe. We are a non-profit organization, and our work is supported by the prayers and goodwill of the people. If you would like to join our mailing list or offer prayers or give financial support, please contact inquiries at wildernesspublications.org, or you can call 440-7962-388-445 for more information. Visit our online bookstore at www.wildernesspublications.org. Visit our radio station website at www.vitwradio.org. May the Lord richly bless you as you continue to listen to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio.
Now that we have ascertained that God predicted that the little horn power would persecute the saints of God for 1260 literal years, then we need to look back into history to see if this actually happened and who had persecuted the saints for this length of period. I will first quote from an article that was written in August 1935 for Ministry Magazine. This article was called Final Analysis of the Little Horn Number 2. It reads, in the year 533 AD, Justinian issued a decree in which he united all the priests in the Orient to the Apostolic See of Rome. The Emperor Justinian assumed the same position that all his predecessors had done. Namely, he claimed that he was ruling by divine appointment and that all his laws were of divine origin and must be obeyed. The prophetic demand of Daniel chapter 7, verses 24 to 25, is that it, the little horn, shall root up 3 of the 10 horns which had divided the Western Roman Empire. There were 2 reasons for the rooting up of these horns. One was political, and the other was religious. The aim of the Eastern emperors was to restore Italy to the imperial scepter and to liberate the Catholic Church in the West, which was under Arian control, and unite it with the Eastern Church and with the Empire. The Vandals in Africa were defeated in 534 to 535 AD by Belisarius, Justinian's general. The Ostrogoths were defeated and surrendered their supremacy over to the Catholic Church in 538 AD. And this is the only logical and authentic date for the beginning of the supremacy of the Little Horn of Daniel 7. For that year marked the union of the Western Catholic Church with the Pope at its head to the Imperial Eastern Catholic Church, thus making the little horn organically complete, never again to be separated for 1260 years. Prophecy says that the little horn should come after the ten horns. This likewise finds its fulfillment in history. Nearly half of the ten horns were established within the Roman Empire upwards of a century before the little horn, as such, came into being. And the little horn continued in existence for 1260 years, whereas the ten horns of barbarian tribes lost their identity, amalgamating with the nations which they had invaded, which are perpetuated in certain of the present nations of Europe. During the supremacy of the little horn, for 1260 years, there was a ceaseless struggle for power between the popes and the emperors. Irrespective of whether the emperor acted as the legislator and the executor in the church and state, like Justinian in the Eastern Empire and Charlemagne in the Holy Roman Empire, or whether popes, such as Innocent III, assumed to legislate in church and state, the system, the government of the little horn, functioned to perfection for 1260 years in suppressing heresies and enforcing religious laws. Now let us also hear, listeners, from an excerpt from a presentation called The United States of America in Bible Prophecy. Here, Pastor Reginald Wright and Brother Adrian McQueen explain about the historical period of papal supremacy.
Now what happened, as we know in the Bible, is we had the papal supremacy. Now the papal supremacy, you see that you have 533 to 1793. Those are the dates between the two decrees. That was the decree of Justinian to establish the Roman Church as the supreme church, and that was the decree of the French Council to disband religion as a national monument. Now between those two dates, there's 1260 years. Now the date of Justinian's decree came into effect in 538. And actually the effect of the decree of France came into the effect in 1798. So you see there's 1260 years between the decrees and 1260 years between the effects of the decrees.
And for 1260 years, papal supremacy was ruling throughout Europe, and many people were martyred for the faith of Christ. And the oldest daughter of the papacy was a country called France. In the baptism of Clovis, France became the oldest daughter of the papacy. But because they hated Protestantism so much, they tried to destroy it through every element. Gaspar the Colony was a Protestant leader, and he was massacred in something called the St. Bartholomew's Massacre. And because the papacy hated Protestantism so much, they assassinated all the Protestant leaders, or leaders which gave appeasement to the Huguenots, with the assassination of Henry III, the assassination of Henry IV, and it was with the reign of Louis XIV, the bisexual king. He crushed the Huguenots so badly, and because of this persecution, God's people did not go out with being avenged. For what France did consistently to the Huguenots was going to come back on them through something called the French Revolution. For years, France tried to destroy every trinket of the gospel. And the Bible says, he that leadeth into captivity should be led into captivity. And this revolution was to have such a tremendous blow upon the papal system, but this blow is going to largely be recovered.
What happened in 1798? Remember that General Berthier sent one of his generals, General Hallier, with a letter to tell the papacy, Pope Pius VI, that the papacy has come to an end. Now, you know, when they sacked the Vatican, they went and took the papal wardrobe, they ripped up his clothes, they took the ring off his finger, they abolished the Catholic Church, they set up the Tree of Liberty, and France became a republic under Berthier. And what happened to the Pope is that he actually went into captivity. The Pope was carted off to Avignon in France, where he died in captivity. Another Pope was elected, but the papacy lost the power of church and state. It lost the power to control the government and the church amalgamated together.
So listeners, Adding to this evidence before us, we're going to read from another source. We will read from the book called The Great Controversy Between Christ and Satan, pages 54 to 55 and 266. In the 6th century, the papacy had become firmly established. Its seat of power was fixed in the imperial city, and the Bishop of Rome was declared to be the head over the entire church. Paganism had given place to the papacy. The dragon had given to the beast his power and his seat and great authority. Revelation chapter 13, verse 2. And now began the 1260 years of papal oppression, foretold in the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, Revelation chapter 13, verses 5 to 7. Christians were forced to choose either to yield their integrity and accept the papal ceremonies in worship, or to wear away their lives in dungeons, or suffer death by the rack, the faggot, or the headman's axe. Now were fulfilled the words of Jesus, "You shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." Luke chapter 21, verses 16 and 17. Persecution opened upon the faithful with greater fury than ever before, and the world became a vast battlefield. For hundreds of years, the Church of Christ found refuge in seclusion and obscurity. Thus says the prophet, "The woman fled into the wilderness, where she have a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Revelation 12, verse 6. The accession of the Roman Church to power marked the beginning of the Dark Ages. As her power increased, the darkness deepened. Faith was transferred from Christ, the true foundation, to the Pope of Rome. Instead of trusting in the Son of God for forgiveness of sins and for eternal salvation, the people looked to the Pope and to the priests and prelates to whom he delegated authority. They were taught that the Pope was their earthly mediator, as that none could approach God except through him. And, further, that he stood in the place of God to them and was therefore to be implicitly obeyed. A deviation from his requirements was sufficient cause for the severest punishment to be visited upon the bodies and souls of the offenders. Thus the minds of the people were turned away from God to fallible, erring, and cruel men, nay, more, to the Prince of Darkness himself, who exercised his power through them. Sin was disguised in the garb of sanctity. When the scriptures are suppressed and man comes to regard himself as supreme, we need look only for fraud, deception, and debasing iniquity. With the elevation of human laws and traditions was manifest the corruption that ever results from setting aside the law of God. Said the angel of the Lord, "The holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them." Revelation chapter 11, verses 2 to 11. The periods here mentioned, 42 months and 1,260 days, are the same, alike represented the time in which the Church of Christ was to suffer oppression from Rome. The 1260 years of papal supremacy began in AD 538 and was therefore terminated in 1798. At that time, a French army entered Rome and made the Pope a prisoner, and he died in exile. Though a new Pope was soon afterward elected, the papal hierarchy has never since been able to wield the power which it before possessed. The persecution of the Church did not continue throughout the entire period of the 1260 years. God, in mercy to his people, cut short the time of their fiery trial. In foretelling the great tribulation to befall the Church, the Saviour said, "Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Matthew chapter 24, verse 22. Through the influence of the Reformation, the persecution was brought to an end prior to 1798. And so we see, listeners, that history clearly testifies that the Roman Catholic Church ruled supremely over the church and state in the territory of the Eastern and Western Roman Empire for 1260 years, between 538 AD and 1798 AD, just as Christ had predicted. It must be clear now that the Vatican, or the papacy, as it is more officially known, meaning the position and authority of the Pope, this system of government, which is a unification of church and state, carries all the descriptions of the Little Horn power, as this is the only power in history that exactly fulfilled all 8 identifying marks as the Bible has listed. Gathering all the scriptural and historical evidence, we can now confidently state that 1. The Vatican arose out of the Fourth Kingdom, the Roman Empire. 2. The Vatican came up after the Roman Empire had degenerated into 10 smaller kingdoms. 3. The Vatican was different from the 10 smaller kingdoms. 4. The Vatican subdued 3 of the 10 smaller kingdoms. 5. The Vatican speaks great words against the Most High. 6. The Vatican wore out the saints of the Most High. 7. The Vatican fought to change times and laws. And as we studied this week, 8. The saints of God were given into the Vatican's hand for 1260 years. So listeners, we'll have another break and come back with our closing thoughts. Thank you. prayerlessness. We have spent the past 4 weeks laying down a biblical foundation to prove that God's word is 100% accurate. It is 100% accurate in predicting the future. It is 100% accurate in revealing what is going on in the world today. It is 100% accurate in revealing what lies secretly in the hearts of men. The Vatican was predicted to have absolute power in the territory of the Roman Empire for 1260 years. This history records happened with terrible results that resulted in the murder of tens, even hundreds of millions of God's people. How can a power that claims to be with Christ work against Christ and destroy his people? This, we will see, has been the consistent course of the Roman Catholic Church throughout all ages. But the biblical narrative does not end there. Daniel was shown that the judgment in heaven was set when the Vatican was to come to an end of this 1260-year period of papal supremacy. The Bible also predicts that the Vatican's deadly wound would be healed and that it will have global power again. It predicts that all the world will wander after it and form a replica of its satanic government. All the world will seek to persecute God's people before Jesus finally comes and puts the wicked works of Satan on this earth to an end. This is not what I say, but what the Lord Jesus Christ has written in his word. All that Christ has predicted has come to pass so far, and all that he has predicted for the future will also come to pass. We are not to look to the latest news bulletins or the latest social media outlets or even to preachers to know the future. God's word is the only infallible guide for his people. He is almighty and the only one who is immortal. The Son of God came to this earth as a human being. He lived a perfect life. He died the most painful and shameful death to pay the penalty for man's sins. He was resurrected again and pleads for his people now before God the Father in the heavenly sanctuary. He is calling his people to come out of this religious system of error called the papacy before he destroys it and all who oppose his system of government. We will see in the coming weeks that the papacy is a religion that is a mixture of Babylonian witchcraft and false Christianity. It is a religion that has been set up by Satan. As we continue to study over the next few weeks, we will look more deeply into the reasons why Christ warns his people to come out of the Roman Catholic Church and all the churches that promulgate her teachings. The most fearful warning ever given to mankind is to be given to the people in these last days. Before God sends his final judgments upon this world to punish the wicked for their evil deeds, especially the wicked in the fallen churches, he is making a final call to leave them. This is the reason why this series of meetings is being presented on this radio station. It is to call God's true people out of this counterfeit form of Christianity before it is too late. So listeners, with all these things in mind, let us now pray to close our study this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word, which is eternal truth, which is 100% accurate, Heavenly Father. It is the foundation for all things true. It is the only true history book that we have existing on this earth. And I pray, Lord, that we would ponder these things that we have studied this evening. I pray for all those who are within the Roman Catholic Church and within all the other denominations, Lord, that have gone away from the truth of your word And I pray for all your people who are within these institutions, Heavenly Father, that as they hear these things, that they would study your word for themselves, and that they would compare the teachings of your word with the teachings of the system of religion that they're in. And I pray, Lord, that their eyes will be opened and that they would see, Lord, that you are the only God and person who they put their trust in, not in any human being. So, Lord, as we continue with these studies week by week, we pray, Lord, that your people would come out, Lord, and that they would come into the light of eternal truth, ready for your second coming, is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions or if you'd like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wilderness publications.org. You can also listen to and download our radio program podcasts at https://voice-in-z-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcasts on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. On next week's program, we'll continue with part 5 of this series of radio broadcasts called The Vatican in Europe. Well, that's it for tonight's radio broadcast. Until next week, good night, listeners, and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.